shit show. It's a fucking shit show.
Welcome back to Shit Show Saturday. Shit Show Saturday, folks. How are we doing? So today you're going to get to hear a portion of our group from last night where we discussed unconditional love. It was a super powerful meeting, and I just continue to be blown away at the vulnerability that everyone shows up with. So it is 8 o'clock on Friday night, and I just wanted to share that it's just been a hard week. I've taken Kiki to the vet twice in the past week, and took her back today. She hasn't really been eating the past few days, so hopefully she's gonna be okay. Oh god, I love that cat so fucking much. Oh, she showed up at my parents' house. It was the year I got sober. It was 2008. And she became my cat a couple years later when I moved out of my parents' house. And, you know, we thought, I'm just going to talk about her because I want to, so you can skip forward if you don't want to hear this, but I just want to tell you about her. So we thought she was pregnant. She's just like a little cow. If you see her on the pictures of her, she probably looks really big, but she's not. She's very tiny with little squatty legs, and I guess she was about 8 pounds. She's like a little under 5 now, but she has a little stubby tail. The vet said that they don't think that she was born that way. They can tell by feeling the bone in the tail. And she has a clipped ear because before we found her, she'd actually been fixed. And she also, so she has like the stubby tail, she has the clipped ear, and then she has like a Bobo eye, a Wonk eye, and her celebrity doppelganger is Forrest Whitaker. It is a complete match. I'm not exactly sure how old she is. I think she's probably like 19 or 20. When we first found her, they thought that she was 6, but they were basing that based off her teeth. I mean, there's no way if she was 6, so she would be 22 years old. I really don't think she's 22 years old. I think she just has a North Florida mouth. She just has a redneck mouth. Yeah, and so we've been all over the place. We moved to California. Now we're back here. God, she's just been the one consistent thing in my life. So I just ask that you keep her in your prayers, please. And damn the joint shit show. No, really, can you just damn the joint shit show? You're missing out. Come hop on board. This is a really special place. And, you know, I just want to say this one thing. You know, it's $29 a month. And, you know, if you're saying that cost is a thing, you gotta really think about that, because is your recovery not worth $1 a day? Seriously, I want you to think about that. If you're using that as a reason not to join, and if it really is, like if you really are in a position where you can't afford $1 a day, which I think most of us are, but if you are in some crazy situation where you really can't pay that, reach out to me directly and we can figure something out. But come on, hop on board. There are so fucking many of you that have been wanting to join for forever. What are you waiting for? I want you to ask yourself, what is it? Is it just fear of being vulnerable? Fear of other people? Like, you're gonna feel really comfortable right away. We really give a warm welcome. You know, I was thinking about this. We live in a day today where everyone is so fucking pitted against each other, right? Like, it is more divisive than ever. There's more uncertainty in the world than ever before. And this is just a place where you can connect with other people solely based off not only just the shared experience of, you know, growing up in a dysfunctional family, but also the shared experience of like being down with calling yourself a shit show and being okay with the word fuck and having a sense of humor. It is just such a breath of fresh air. I wish I could just be on group all the time. I'm just so grateful. So hop on board this damn ship, yo. And how about you also sign up for my newsletter? See the link in the show notes for that as well. Give me a little follow on the Insta, on the TikTok, at Adult Child Pod. You can also follow me on YouTube. I'm going to start putting up all of the episodes on YouTube. I've been putting clips up there, but my goal is to is to do more stuff on YouTube. So post the interviews as well as post additional content. YouTube is where it's at. If anybody has any good YouTube experience, hit a gal up. I'd love to hear it. So follow me on there as well. And of course, give me a damn 5-star rating on Apple, on Spotify. I love you all, even though so many of you I've never met, but I love you all so much. Thank you for being the best damn listenership on the planet. And
they say that I should damn the joint shit show. They say that that's where people go to heal. They say that I'll feel seen and heard like I have never felt before. So I'm going to damn the joint right now.
Talk about unconditional love. The ultimate lesson all of us have to learn is unconditional love, which includes not only others, but ourselves as well. I don't think I knew what unconditional love was before I came into the program. After all, I'd always felt that my mother had only loved and accepted me conditionally, and that in order for me to receive approval and love from her, I had to be the best at everything I did. I had to be at the top of the class, win prizes for ballet, and in general, be a credit to her so that she could bask in the reflected limelight. Perhaps that was only my perception, but as a result, I wrote a script for myself that in order to be loved, accepted, and lovable, I had to excel at everything. I became an overachiever academically. I had to be the best wife, best mother, best cook, in short, the best everything. No wonder I had to eat to cope with all this self-inflicted pressure. The unconditional love and acceptance I received when I first came into these program rooms was something I had never experienced before. Let us love you until you can learn to love yourself, they said. This was something totally foreign to me. How could I be lovable when I was fat and bloated? How could they love me when I hated myself for all the secret eating that caused me to feel totally miserable? This must be like an overeater's book or something. I just pulled it from a thing. I thought it was good. But love me, they did. And that was the beginning of my healing. At one stage, fairly early in my recovery, one of my daughters accused me of being so busy going to meetings and doing courses and learning to love myself that I was too busy to love them. How wrong she was. It was only when I had learned enough self-love and approval of myself exactly as I was, that I was able to love all my children fully and unconditionally. I'm now able to love and accept all my children exactly as they are. None of them are perfect, as I am not, but they are special in their own right, and I love them for who they are and not for anything they do or don't do. One day at a time, I practice being warm and accepting of all those I love as I accept and love myself for being who I am today, a child of God. I just want to start by sharing, I said it in the beginning for people who weren't on, I'm just really struggling because Kiki's like not been eating for the past couple of days, and, it's just really stressful. So God, talk about unconditional love, man. I love that fucking cat so much. I love you so much. You know that? And I was just thinking about how I created this group. Like, I really have not experienced like the unconditional love that I experienced from all of you guys is just next level from what I've experienced in even AA and ACA. Like, this really is just such a special place where I feel like we can really just all show up as our authentic selves, and the support and the love is so, it's so real, you know, like, especially like over the past year, like just going through such a hard time and being so afraid that everyone's going to abandon me. I'm like such a mess. And it's such an honor to be able to come here and just be myself as the, you know, the helm of this ship. And never feel judged, like not once. And to just really, truly feel seen. I really feel so seen by all of you. And that's the part that's really hard, like with, especially with my family, like with my parents. And I know so many of you feel that way too. It's like, I wish that they could really see me. Like I wish that they could really, know me, you know, I wish that they could really know me and, like understand why I am the way that I am, the good and the bad. And I wish that I could really know them too. And so, you know, this process of, you know, I think on a conscious level, I do unconditionally love myself. I think that subconsciously there's still some work to do. Floor is open.
Unconditional love. I don't know what that is. In my podcast, you said, what's my song I want to be walked into when I walk in a room? And that I chose that song being from Foreigner. I want to know what love is. I'm still, I feel love from my wife, from my in-laws and my brother-in-law. I feel I have that family love. And for me, it's foreign. For me, receiving a male warm embrace is so bloody foreign to me. I can't accept it. It's so hard. I can do the bro hugs, you know, buddy type thing, but a perfect male role model was never there. That unconditional love, I have a mother wound. I still not have it addressed. Here I am 5 years later. I know it's there. It's just another fucking part of the youngin' I don't want to uncover. It's still there. I know it is. And to set that accountability to my parents, I haven't been able to do that either. When my father wrote that letter to me 5 years ago, disowning me to my wife, literally disowning me, never to have any contact ever again. It has still an effect of, you know, and then that just kicks in the abandonment wound of just throw him away. Who gives a fuck about him? Who cares? And that's the way I felt all my life. I don't know what that unconditional love is. As I said here today, I don't. And for me, it's going to sound crazy. I love my cats more than I love the humans around me. I've had Mandy, Tabby, Kizzy, Patty, Becky, Tom, Dick, Harry, BB, Spot, Tiger, Bear, Oswald, Rose, Billy, Peg Leg out here, Broken Tail, Pisser, who passed away a year ago. Oh, that's the thing, the soul that gave me unconditional love all my life. And I've said it before that having cats helped me from not committing suicide. Because if who would take care of them? Who would take care of my little animals? And I'm still learning, trying to have that self-love all the time. And then the fucking spiral just hits every once in a while. As you're going along, it just but eventually I will know what that is, and yeah. And that's what gives me hope in all of this work that we do every week, showing up for ourselves, and that's showing love for ourselves, if just a little bit each time, instead of big gulps of the drink, take little sips and you will finish it. Thank you very much.
So I have this great story that has to do with unconditional love. So I had a grandmother who loved me more than anything in the world. And I was her favorite grandchild. I was her first grandchild. And everything circled around me. So my brother was a year younger than me, so it was like an age thing. Or my sister, who was 4 years younger than me, maybe it was a girl thing. But everything, I was the center of everything. And I took a lot of flack from my mother because she hated my grandmother. And she only hated my grandmother because she felt bad for what she had done, which was trap my dad into marrying her. And so I probably was like in fifth grade. And my grandmother had this ladybug stationery that she had bought. And she goes, "That's for your sister, Liz, who, you know, I visited all the time." And he visited, my brother visited when it was age appropriate. My sister visited with me when it was girl appropriate, but it was always about me. And I loved the stationery. I was like in fifth grade, and I put it in my stuff to take home because everything was about me with her. And all of a sudden she turned around and she goes, "I've noticed that that ladybug stationery is missing, and no question asked, I would like you to put it back. I would like it to be put back. She didn't say, I would like for it to be put back. No questions asked. And it was like, I thought about it and I thought about it and I put it back. And she said nothing about it. And she continued to absolutely love every syllable that ever came out of my mouth. Everything. She loved everything about me. And that is what I've always equated with my higher power, God's love for me. Because he says, you know, you need to put that back. You need to fix that. And I don't love you any less because you have done this transgression. And I'm not all that. I think I'm pretty good at loving myself unconditionally because I so try so hard for so many decades to always rise above my circumstances, if that's a way you can say that. And it always comes back at any time in AA, NA, anything about unconditional love. I've experienced unconditional love. And, you know, not that many people can say that you come from our circumstances or, you know, got involved with drugs and alcohol or, you know, done whatever. I mean, I know so many people who have never experienced unconditional love. And while my mom abused me because of my grandmother's unconditional love, I remember saying to my dad once, my dad called me and we were talking about something and I go, "You know what? Grandma loved me." It was my dad's mom. "Grandma loved me unconditionally. And I've had to pay for it for every moment of my life with mom. But it was fucking worth it. It was really, really worth it to have somebody who just saw me for who I was and just celebrated me and just was like everything was okay when I was there. You know, I mean, just everything was okay. And one of the ways my mom abused me was to keep me away from my grandma. And I don't know, I'm just always forever grateful for that relationship. And I had another great grandmother on the other side. One day I called her and I said, "I fucking had it with this family." I was probably in my 20s. "I fucking had it with this family. I don't want anything to do with you or anybody else in the family. I just don't want to have anything to do with anybody." And I was really young. I don't know what I was upset about at the time. And my grandmother called me and she was crying, my other grandmother. And she said, "Please don't cut me out of your life. Just please do not cut me out of your life." And, you know, it always kind of hung with me. You know, I'm not a big person in cutting people out of my life, but, you know, I'm just really grateful that I had that experience with my grandmother. And I'm really grateful that when I stole that stationery. And I probably did that a bunch of other times and she never said anything. Like, she probably had something earmarked for my brother or sister. And I was like, "Yeah, you know, I want that, you know?" And she probably let me get away with it. And that one time that she didn't, it gave me this example that I can go through life knowing what it's like to feel unconditionally loved, even when I make mistakes, even when I steal something, or, you know, anyways, I'm really grateful to be here, and I'm grateful for all you guys. Thanks.
I want to share a couple of things. This unconditional love thing is really, you know, it's challenging to understand. It has been challenging for me to understand, but as I go through my recovery and I make more progress, I see my mistakes as not my fault, but my responsibility. And when I extend myself compassion for those things, and I trust my higher power to help me to understand better those things within myself, I'm able to better give unconditional love to the people in my life who are also there for me. And I'm doing a lot of IFS work, and I can say, you know, I want to do better today, and then I don't do better, or I don't think I did better, even though I am doing better. And, you know, I judge myself a little bit, but through my recovery, what's happening now is the judgment is, it doesn't have the sharp edges that it used to have, right? Now it's got like rounded edges, and I can get to the other side really a lot faster. But I want to share a really funny story and I'm just gonna say it's okay if everybody judges me for this. We are really big animal people in this house, and this story really taught me about unconditional love. A couple of years ago, we fostered a baby squirrel. I know some people think they're rats, but the 6 weeks that we fostered this baby squirrel were like the best 6 weeks of this household's life. I swear to God, like we see a squirrel on the street and we're like, Frank, is that you? Like, this squirrel was just amazing. And we had to keep it a secret from our family because some of them, you know, they do think they're rats. And I understand that sort of. Anyway, I was in a particularly bad period of time pre-recovery when the squirrel was with us. And my husband would leave things on the counter and I would get pissed off and I would get so angry at him, you know, and just like in my head, I was like, what the fuck are you doing? And I would just spiral. But the squirrel was like my saving grace, right? So one day I took the squirrel up to my office above the garage and I was doing something on my computer, and like, you have to be held all the time, right? Because they're like cold and they have to be, you know, so... Anyway, so he was squirming a bit. So I just set him down on my desk and he walked over to my computer and he peed on the keyboard. And the keyboard fried, right? Like, it totally fried the keyboard. And I'm like sitting there and I'm laughing my head off. Again, I'm saying I don't have children, right? So like, I can't relate to this whole, I'll forgive you for anything, until this squirrel peed on my keyboard. And I'm in the Apple store like 2 days later and I'm laughing my head off because I have to buy a new keyboard. I have to buy a new computer, $3,000. And I'm like, oh, but he's so cute. Like, I think that might be unconditional love. Like, I think that's what it was. And when I realized this story, and like, I've told this story since, and you know, the family that we did share that we were fostering this girl with are still like, do you remember when he peed on your keyboard? And that was so funny. And I'm like, yeah, was it funny? Like, I'm really confused. It cost me a lot of money, but damn, I would do it again in a second. We are now looking for a squirrel to foster this summer because hot damn, they're so lovely. So I think that's unconditional. Is anybody judging me? Yeah, probably.
No, but I think that's what the test is. I think the test for unconditional love is pissing on someone's computer, pissing on a keyboard.
That's one test. Trish, you inspired me. This is my maternal grandmother, Leah. That's me with the crazy yellow coat, and that's my little brother, Grant. I talked about my grandma in my shit show interview. And I really, the more that I think about it, the more as I've gone forward in my life, if it hadn't been for her unconditional love, I'm pretty sure I'd be dead in a ditch somewhere. I really do. What makes it all the more significant or intriguing, or I don't know, the quality of the love is not just unconditional, wasn't just unconditional for me, but it also painted my perspective of what that means and how it, somebody had just by simple acts and demonstrations of how she was looking out for me. I've carried that in spite of, in some ways, who she was. My grandmother raised 5 kids on her own during the Depression. She did everything she had to survive, including dragging her own kids out of school and putting them on the street to make money as well. She was a thief. She was a prostitute. She was whatever it took to survive. And a lot of a bunch of the stories that came out about her over the years came when I was an adult, my mother started to tell me stuff about what it was like growing up with my grandmother as her mother. It wasn't pretty. My mother was working somewhere when she was 16 years old, working full time at a store somewhere, and 2 undercover cops came in to the store to deliver the message that her mother was in jail. She'd been caught in, she had boarders at the place that they were renting, and she was having sex with them in exchange for rent and blah, blah, blah. But she was also stealing with from the boarders, and she got caught in a little sting. My mother was also really jealous of her mother. So it was important for her to try anyway, and in spite of who she was to me, she was really trying to destroy that and destroy my impression of my grandmother. And as hard as she tried, it never stuck, never helped, because my grandmother slept on our couch on Christmas Eve, wrote the Santa letter. I'd go down and stay at her place on the weekend, and she'd take me downtown, and we'd, you know, hang out at the Woolworths and go to the buffet. And it was just, and she just let me be. She just let me be. I found out through stories from my mother that she was so afraid for my mother and my brother and I that my father was going to come home and just, like, I don't know, kill us or do some really serious damage. So she would, my grandmother would call the neighbors in our neighborhood and say, keep an eye out for them. So that really, in spite of everything else, it cemented a feeling in me that I was that I was worthy, that I was worthy of love. So she's here in my kitchen. She's in my heart.
This topic's stirred up quite a bit because I think it's in line with where I've been in my head for these past couple weeks. I guess I would start off by saying a couple weeks ago, I went on a vacation. It was a retreat to an eclipse festival. Just to briefly explain it, there was nothing but being surrounded by people that wanted to spread love into the world, wanted to work on their own healing, and it was just such a special place to be. And I've been struggling quite a bit since coming back from it. And what seems to be going on is I find myself having trouble having conversations with people, mainly because, like, I'm watching myself just be so inauthentic that I can't fucking speak. Like, everything that comes into my head is just this shit that I would normally say because I think the other person wants me to say it. Or I think it's the right thing for this person, that person. And it's just mind-blowing to me how constant this is throughout the day. And when it comes to this topic, thinking about unconditional love, I mean, I've been living a life that's exactly the opposite. I mean, I've pretty much secretly despised myself for as long as I can remember. And I think I really just kind of figured that out while I was sitting here and I'm able to admit it, because when I was on that retreat, I felt so unsafe at times. And I'm realizing that I'm causing it to myself. It's like I'm unsafe when I'm by myself because of the thoughts that are in my head that I think about myself. So the thoughts that are going through my mind now, the words unconditional love and authenticity seem to be going hand in hand. And when I'm being authentic, I can tell because it is the most emotionally intense situation that I can be in. Just even having a simple conversation with somebody I've known for 20 years, saying actually what I want to say feels like one of the toughest things that I'll ever have to do. And when I think about that, it makes me realize that that's how little I actually think about myself, is that I'm afraid to be myself in almost every situation I have throughout the day. And I think there's definitely a light at the end of this tunnel, because I've heard it many, many times throughout the course of my life. You hear it all the time in the recovery world, especially when you really start to make some progress, when you realize you're the one that's been fucking causing all the problems. And I can't do it anymore. I can't go through life just trying to be the person that everybody else wants me to be, because in the end, it leaves me with zero love for myself. So moving forward, I think hopefully I'll start to have some of this so-called unconditional love for myself, just by being able to recognize that I'm the one that's causing it. So thanks for letting me share.
You're a very special human being. Do you know that?
The way Only that you because you said it.
No. Your level of vulnerability the entire time you've been in this community is really admirable. And it's so inspirational. So you're a special human. Your presence has been missed.
So I hopped on late tonight and I wasn't going to share. I'm feeling like super raw right now. But Steven's share just inspired me to share. So thank you, Stevie. My daughter just had like this super intense tantrum and was throwing shit at me. And it's just like, she's so emotional. I mean, she's a 3.5-year-old, but, it's just more intense than other kids. And that's how I was. And, what's really just killing me is it's this unconditional love piece. And it's this wanting so badly to have unconditional love, but being so fucking terrified of it. And just feeling so frightened when I think about the potential for that type of love in my life. I shared this with Andrea outside of group. I went back like online dating, which is like a really big thing for me. It's something that's been really scary to do for a long time. And I was talking to a guy for 2 weeks and didn't even go on a date. We'd been texting and just put it out there that, you know, wanted to talk over the phone, and things were not, you know, progressing. I felt like, as you know, I thought that there was a connection there. So anyways, with the guidance of some friends and with Andrea, just realized that it was a crumb type of situation. And that just triggered all this fucking abandonment shit in me. And you know, I've been working on this abandonment stuff with my parents mostly, and my mom, I mean. And the hard part now is just seeing how my whole life, after childhood, I have just created nonstop abandonment situations with other people. In all forms of my relationships, all of my relationships, every fucking single one, there is some form of heart-wrenching fucking abandonment. And it's just been a lot to deal with the last couple days. And I'm trying to take care of myself and just love myself through this, but it's like really, really scary, because like I said, the thing that I want most is the thing that's most terrifying for me. It's just been really heavy today. Today kind of everything hit me like just a waterfall. And I went out in nature and I was crying out in the woods, and just letting this pain just sit for a little bit. And I don't want to sit in it for too long, but I know that there's like all these memories are coming up, and all these things that I just haven't thought about. And it's just peeling back more layers, and it's just a lot. And that's all I have to share tonight. So thank you guys, and love you guys.